One of the things that our Christian and even Jewish tradition teaches us, I think it's very important, is to understand that as we go through life, we do so not in some haphazard kind of way, as if by chance, but rather that God has had a plan, that God directs the course of human events, and even though sometimes it's difficult to understand exactly why does God allow this or that, to know that throughout all of history, from the first beginning of creation and Genesis up into our present day, God has a plan. And at various times were sent prophets to speak with the authority of God to tell us what is the mind of God. We often look at prophets as foretelling the future. Even the word prophecy sometimes means to speak about the future. But really, in the biblical sense, a prophet is one who, in the midst of the present time, speaks with the authority of God and says, "Thus says the Lord, here is what God has to say." If we look at our first reading today, we have a very interesting tale about Balaam. He only appears here in the book of Numbers, really, and it's a pretty short-lived account. I always like to tell the story of Balaam because he's got a famous, cute little tale of him and his donkey. Balaam was actually not a Jewish person. He was, though, a prophet, a seer, who seems to have worshipped the one God, Yahweh. But he was willing to be bought off by the political authorities. So when the enemies of Israel were encamped against them, Balak, the head of the Moabites, comes to Balaam and says, "You're a great seer. You can curse and bless, and you seem to be very powerful. So what I want you to do is go out and curse Israel for me." And Balaam's like, "You know, I kind of believe in the same God they do, and I'm not one of them, but I'd rather not." Then they send higher officials from the king himself and says, "We'll pay you quite a bit if you'll go curse them." "Well, all right, that'll work then." And so Balaam is bribed, so he doesn't get too high of a reputation in the scriptures. But for what it's worth, he's on his way to curse Israel. And the angel of the Lord actually blocks his path, although Balaam can't see it, but his donkey sees it. So his donkey keeps veering away, and Balaam gets very mad at his donkey. And he's like, "Get back on the road." And he actually starts to beat his donkey because the donkey will not go near the angel of the Lord because, as is revealed, the angel of the Lord has its sword drawn and is very mad at Balaam. And it is Balaam's donkey that is able to realize this. And eventually it's revealed to Balaam that the Lord is not happy with Balaam, and his donkey actually saved his life. And so eventually Balaam gets to Israel, and he stands up there on the mountain, and Balak is ready to have him curse Israel. That's what he paid him for. And instead of saying, "I curse you, Israel," he comes out and says a blessing instead. And of course, Balak is very upset because he paid him to curse them. He says, "Well, I'll try again." And he tries, and he ends up blessing them. And in the end, God's will is done, even through Balaam, who is not Jewish, who is paid off to curse Israel. Instead, God uses even this somewhat reluctant prophet to speak his words to bless Israel. He prophesies that Israel will indeed be victorious. And indeed, they are. The passage we get to today, at the end of that story, Balaam is again giving a prophecy, an oracle of God. And he says something. Why do we have this reading during Advent? Well, it's for the very last verse of this, because Balaam says, "I see him, though not now. I behold him, though not near. A star shall advance from Jacob, and a staff shall rise from Israel." A star shall advance from Jacob. This prophecy, as with all Old Testament prophecies, they're always multivalent. They can refer to many things, just like Isaiah's prophecy of the virgin being with child. It can mean different things. And certainly Balaam's prophecy could have referred to the conquest of King David and the Israelites over the Promised Land. But it has also always been associated with the coming of Jesus, the star advancing from the house of Jacob, and particularly seen and fulfilled in the star of Bethlehem. Indeed, there was the star that foretold Jesus' birth, that marked the place that again, non-Jewish people, the Magi, were able to follow that star and find Jesus. The staff is the one spoken of in the book of Genesis that represents the ruler of the people of Israel. Indeed, Jesus is the one foretold by the star. He is the one foretold, the ruler who will wield the staff to rule over God's people, Israel. Prophecy, God's plan, was made manifest through Balaam and indeed came about even against his will. If we look at our gospel today, again, the question of the authority of God is under scruples. They want to know with what authority John spoke. Where did his baptism come from? Jesus asks. It's all about the authority. How do we know what is God's plan? What is his authority? They want to know why Jesus does the things that he does. He's doing prophetic actions, like speaking against the temple and questioning authority. Where does Jesus come from? What line of prophecy is he in? The important thing for us to remember then is that God's plan will be done. And so the mission of our lives then is to tune our way of thinking to God's way of thinking. That's what made the prophets so great. They were in tune with the voice of God. This is the great gift and teaching of St. John of the Cross, our doctor of the church in the spiritual life, to tune our spirits to that of the will of God. And it's not always easy. That's why he's John of the Cross, because to tune our wills to God always means abandoning our will to that of God. And it's not easy. John spoke often of the dark night of the soul, where the soul that grows closest to God, paradoxically, can often feel very distant from God. His teaching is so important because it reminds us that as we go through this life, oftentimes the closer we get to God, the more we do his will, often God will strangely but necessarily remove himself at times to deepen our sense of longing and desire and our hope. So he is a great saint for this season of Advent as we stir up our hope, as we tune our wills to the coming of Jesus, to be ready to welcome him at Christmas, that we might always welcome him in the spirit of the cross, that the coming of this ruler, this one foretold by the star and the scepter, will demand abandonment on our part, abandonment to the cross, just as he did. May we always have our wills in tune with the prophecy, with the will of God, that we might receive the fulfillment of those prophecies, that we too might rule with him in heaven.